I feel the presence of the Lord in here, and I feel that there's a spirit of restoration in this house, and God's going to bring restoration. He's going to restore. Anytime he brings restoration, you know, he renews, and I just thank the Lord for that right now. Just put your head down right now. And I want to pray. Father, we come before you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name, Father. Lord, we ask for forgiveness of all of our sins right now, Lord God. And Father God, we thank you for restoration in this house, Lord. Father God, we thank you for moving mightily today, God, that your mighty hand, Lord, is upon us, Lord God, for your word going forth, Lord God, bringing conviction, Lord, for your word going forth and changing, Lord, for your word going forth and renewing, Lord, for your word going forth like fire, Father God. Lord God, that you would burn out everything and consume everything, Lord God, that is not of you, Father, that you would move mightily, Lord, that you would come like that mighty rushing wind, Lord God, and drive out the enemy, Lord God, that the enemy would scatter, Lord, in seven different directions, God. I thank you for this word, Lord. I thank you for clarity, Lord. I thank you for touching, Lord, mending, healing, and delivering, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you are the yoke destroyer, Lord, and the burden remover, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for turning hearts today violently, Lord, towards you, God. I thank you, Lord God, for softening hearts today, God. I thank you for people having an ear, us having an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, God. I thank you for removing scales from eyes, oh Lord. Lord God, that the deaf will hear, Lord, that the lame will walk, God, that the blind will see, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for captivating their hearts, oh Lord. I thank you, Lord, that their eyes are steadfast on you, God, that I decrease, oh Lord, and that you increase, oh God, that you hide me, Lord God. I thank you for your word, Lord. Bless them, Lord God. Bless them, Father God, as they hear the word, Lord God, turn them, Lord. Oh, have your way, Lord God. Thank you for the fire, Lord, that's shut up in my bones, Lord God. Let the fire of the Holy Ghost come forth, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for having me, pastors. I'm honored to be here. I felt such the presence of the Lord in this place when we were worshiping. And that's a good thing, because if I don't feel it and I have to come up and preach, I'm like shivering in my boots. We're going to be reading from Luke chapter 16. And let's turn there. But before we get started, let me get my notes out. And it's going to be Luke chapter 16, verse 19. We're going to read from, but before I do, you know, I've been pressing and pressing in and asking God, what do you want me to say to the church? Because yes, I have a lot of sermons, but it doesn't mean it's the right sermon. It's the right word for the church that I'm coming to. And as I was driving and it was getting close, I'm like, we're getting to the, down to the nitty gritty here, God. We're getting to the last minute, and I haven't got a word. I've been searching and seeking and praying, and we've been fasting, coming together in agreement that God would move and God would touch your hearts today. And as I was driving and I was praying in the morning, and there was such warfare this week, so I know that God is going to move in a mighty way. But as I was driving on the freeway and I was praying, God began to speak to me. And as I was going one way, there was many of us going one way. Many were going north. But as I looked, there were many going south. And the only thing that came between the ones that were going north and the ones that were going south is some land. Now, if I wanted to get on that side, I couldn't do anything about it because there was a gulf, there was a land that was separating us. So I was on that side and I had to stay on that side. The only way I can get off is go on the other side is to get off on the exit and turn around and go the other way. But there was a gulf that was separating us. And that reminded me of Luke chapter 16, verse 19, with the rich man who passed away and died and ended up in hell. And then there was Lazarus, who was a beggar, and he ended up in the bosom of Abraham in heaven. And the thing that was separating them was a gulf, was some land, except they couldn't cross over anymore. You see, once you take your last breath, that's your last breath. You exhale and you inhale, and either you're in heaven or you're in hell. And once you're there, once it's over, you can't cross over. You can't go on the other side, and the other side can't come to you. So when I was driving on the freeway, I knew I couldn't get to the other side unless I got off and turned around, because there was something that was separating the people that were going north and the people that were going south. There's something that separates us, and that's the enemy. He tries to get us to go the wrong way. He wants us to keep going the wrong way. He doesn't want us to stop. He doesn't want us to get off. He doesn't want us to turn around, but he wants us to keep going the wrong way. Luke chapter 16, verse 19, and it says this. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Even the dogs had compassion for this beggar, but the rich man had no compassion. The only thing that separated the rich man and the beggar was a gate. That's all that separated him. All he would have had to do was open up the gate and let the beggar in. He could have changed his life by blessing someone else's life. Maybe there's somebody that's standing at your gate. Maybe there's somebody at your workplace. Maybe there's somebody in your church, and they're standing right there. And all you have to do is go out of your way to bless them. Do you know that's a seed sown? And when you begin to bless someone else, it can change your life. It can turn you around. It can make a difference. So the dog licks his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died. What good is it to gain the whole world and lose your soul? And was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes. It didn't say any angels came and got him and took him in the bosom of Abraham. When he lifted up his eyes, he was in hell. A lot of preachers don't want to talk about hell, but Jesus went to the cross so we wouldn't go to hell. He died on the cross so we wouldn't go to hell. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. See, he had all his senses in hell. He wanted some water. He was thirsty. And it says, for I am tormented in the flame. But Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a gulf. Fixed. It's fixed. Once it's done, it's fixed. Once you take your last breath, it's over. Right now, you have a chance to repent. Right now, you have a chance to change. Right now, you have a chance to turn around. But when you die, it's fixed. Don't wait till it's too late. Don't wait till you're in the coffin and you can't say a word. Don't wait until the undertaker comes and takes you. But it's now is the time of salvation. Right? So it says, fix, so that they which pass from hence to go to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto him, lest they also come into the place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let him hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. See, he knew the word repent. He knew repent, but he never repented. He knew what he said it, so he knew if he asked for forgiveness, he would be forgiven. But yet he never did it. So now he's in hell, and he's telling them, go tell them so that they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. And as I was driving on the freeway, it reminded me of this chapter and of this verse. One side, all were going one way, and there were many that were going that way, and there were many that were going the other way. Both sides were busy. Both sides were moving. Both sides were in one accord. Both sides were going somewhere. But those that are going the wrong way, you still have a chance to exit. Exit means this: a way out, a door, an outlet, an escape, an exodus, to pull out, to withdraw. You still have a way to get out. It's still not too late. But sometimes, because we have habits, we drive on the same freeway. We go the same way. It's the same thing spiritually. When we're bound up, when we have habits, we're going the same way. A habit is something that's hard to break. Also, a habit, if you look it up in the dictionary, it means this, and it blew me away. It means a loose garment that the religious wear. A loose garment that the religious wear. I remember one day I was driving and I automatically turned into Starbucks. And I didn't even want to go to Starbucks, but I turned into Starbucks. Why? Because it's a habit. One day I turned into Pepe's and I didn't even want to go there. And it was in 1 week I did that. And I said, why? Because I have a habit of going there. You see, when we have habits, it's like when we go to work and we're working in construction, our garment, our habit, our loose garment, our garment will get dirty, right? It's the same thing that when we're stuck in sin, when we have this habit, when we have unforgiveness or we have bitterness, we won't let it go, or we have an addiction. We have a habit. What happens to our garments? They become filthy. They become dirty, our garments that we're wearing. And the thing is that we're going that way because we have a habit, and it's hard to stop. It's hard to exit. It's hard to withdraw. It's hard to pull out. It's hard to let go because we have a habit, and we're walking around with dirty garments, filthy garments, and there's only one thing that can clean our garments. There's only one thing that can wash us as white as snow, and that's the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus, the blood that heals, the blood that delivers, the blood that cleanses, the blood that purges, the blood that quickens, and the blood that resurrects, the healing blood of the Lamb. Woo! I got a habit. I got a filthy garment. I can have soap right here next to me. And I know that soap can make me clean. But if I don't apply the soap, it's not going to wash me, and it's not going to clean me. My garments are, my habit is still going to be upon me. My garments are still going to be filthy and dirty. But if I take that soap and I apply it to my garment, then my garment's going to change. It's going to go from dirty to clean. Have you ever wondered why a brown cow eats green grass and comes out with white milk? I got a better one for you. Have you ever wondered why our sin-sick, stained soul can be washed in the red blood and come out as white as snow? Woo! Do you have a habit? Is it causing you to go the same way? Is it causing you to do you have a taskmaster on you that's causing you to do the same thing? And you need to make that exodus. Remember, they needed to make the exodus, but they had a taskmaster over them. So what happened was God sent in Moses, who brought deliverance. God is sending me here today to let you know that you don't have to stay on the same road and do the same thing, that habit is broken today, because God has yoke-destroying power and anointing. You can be driving on the freeway and you know you're going the wrong way. And you say, I'm going to get off on this, the next exit. On the next exit. I'll change tomorrow. I'll change tomorrow. I'm going to keep going this way, but tomorrow I'll let it go. Tomorrow I'll change. Tomorrow I'll forgive. Tomorrow I'll reconcile. And you're going the same way. And God's saying, get off. Get off right now. And you're missing the exit. You're missing Mercy Road. You pass Mercy Road, and then you miss Grace Sufficient. You miss that exit, and you pass that, and God has another way for you to escape. And there's Kindness Avenue. And you miss Kindness Avenue, God says, all right, that's all right, I'll make another way. You keep going, you're going to be able to get off right here. And you keep passing it up and passing it up. And don't wait until it's too late. Get off. Make an exit. There's workers on both sides. As I was driving, I seen workers on both sides of the freeway. On the south side, and on the north side, there's workers on both sides. Same thing spiritually. On the south side, going down, there's workers. And on the north side, going up, there's workers. On the south side, there's principalities. There's rulers of darkness. There's spiritual wickedness. And on the north side, there's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. There's warring angels, ministering angels, battling angels, breakthrough angels, creative working miracle angels on the north side. Both sides have workers. Both sides want to make it easy for you to get where you need to go. But you have to exit. Say, today, God, I'm going to exit. Today, Lord, I'm going to get off. Don't put the visor down and block the sun. Don't put the visor down and block the sun. Not the S-U-N. I'm talking about the S-O-N. Remember, the sun, the S-O-N, shines brighter than the S-U-N. The S-O-N lights up the world like the S-U-N. The S-O-N has heat, fire, and so does the S-U-N. I'm talking about the S-O-N. I'm talking about the Son of God. The Son of God wants your attention. The Son of God, don't block him. Don't be stiff-necked. Don't be rebellious. Woo, I bind up rebellion in Jesus' name. Put the visor up and let the sun hit your face. Put the visor up and let the Son of God hit your face and light up your face so you can see. When you put the visor down when you're driving, it blocks the sun. But if you lift up the visor, you see the sun right in your face. And you begin to see yourself in the mirror. And you begin to see, when the sun's hitting your face, you can see everything on your face. When the sun hits your face, and I'm talking about the S-O-N, when he hits your face, that's when you say, I got to hit my face. I got to repent, Lord. I got to let it go. You might say, I'm going the right way. I'm on the right track. But what about those that are lost? What about those that need direction? Are you taking time to pull over and give them direction how to get on the right side? It's easy. All you have to do is point to Christ. All you have to do is say, He is the way, the truth, and the life. Simple directions. If somebody's going the wrong way, He is the way that stops them from going the wrong way. He is the truth that shuts up the liar. And He is the life that rebukes the spirit of death. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Let Him know He'll make your crooked path straight. Let Him know if you acknowledge Him, He shall direct your path. Woo! So they're lost and you know they need directions. Take the opportunity to tell them Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Win a soul. Point them in the right direction. That reminds me of Minerva and I when we went to Porto. And we were talking about soul winning. And she goes, I want to win a soul. And I said, okay. So we were standing in line, and I was telling her, well, this is how I win souls. And I was telling her, and I go, now's your chance. And she goes, in the line. Right? She's going to point them the way. He never received Christ. They never received Christ till that day. They were going the wrong way. And all of a sudden, here comes somebody with direction. All of a sudden, here comes somebody pointing the way. And here they go, turning direction and heading north. They were on the south side, but when she came and gave them an opportunity, they repented and received the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was the cutest thing ever. She said, excuse me, I want to win a soul. And you're going to be the first one. And then she told his cousin, and you're going to be the second one. And guess what? Both of them received Christ. Both of them repented before the Lord. And they turned and headed in a different direction. Don't miss the opportunity. This church will be filled up. If you begin to point the direction that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, you have a chance every day. People are going the wrong way every single day. You have that chance. Jesus never passed up an opportunity. When he walked by Matthew at the tax collector's booth, what did he do? Come follow me. And Matthew all of a sudden went in a different direction. When Andrew and Simon were in the boat, he said, come follow me and I'll make you a fisherman of souls. And what happened? All of a sudden, they left what they were doing and they followed Jesus. All of a sudden, when you represent Christ Jesus, that one that you've been praying for, all of a sudden, one day you say, you want to go to church? And all of a sudden, they've been saying, no, no. And all of a sudden, they're going to change your direction and they're going to begin to go to church. When Jesus sat down, right after he won Matthew, he sat down and the scribes and the Pharisees were looking at him. He sat down with a bunch of tax collectors and sinners and they couldn't understand it. He was changing their direction. He never missed an opportunity. He didn't turn up his nose. That reminded me of David. David never turned up his nose. David was like Jesus. Jesus sat with the notorious sinners. And when David was in the cave, 1 Samuel 22:1, when David was in the cave of Adullam, and for time's sake, you guys read it. When he was in the cave, it says that all that were in distress, that's all that were in debt, and all that were discontented gathered themselves to David. What caught my eye was that David didn't reject one of them. They were all with an issue, but yet he received them. He was going through a hard time, but yet he showed kindness to them. When you're going through a hard time, and those that are in distress, those that are in debt, and those that are discontented come to you, show them kindness. I love it because it says that they all came from the Father's house. That means that they came from the tribe of Judah. So here you have a bunch of people in debt, distress, and discontented, but all from the tribe of Judah. In other words, they had praise in them. So when they went in that cave, even though they had an issue, David welcomed them in because David wanted to change their direction. And you know what happens when you get a bunch of praisers together? Even though you got an issue, even though you got a problem, even though you're going through, David was an example. Be an example to those that are having a hard time, those that are going the wrong way. And what did he begin to do? We know what he began to do, because in Psalms 142, it was recorded from the cave. Psalms 57 was recorded from the cave. They all began to praise, and something started stirring in the cave. Something began to happen in the cave. There was change in the cave. He didn't reject one of them. David, a shepherd, didn't reject him. David, a captain, didn't reject him. David, a king, didn't reject him. David, who took out a bear and a lion, didn't reject him. David, who took out a giant, didn't reject him. David, who was a sweet psalmist of Israel, didn't reject him. In other words, he didn't care how many titles he had. It didn't matter to him. He was welcoming all. That's just like Jesus. He doesn't care. He had more titles than David. Jesus is Master, Savior, Deliverer, Strong Tower. Jesus is King of Glory. Jesus is I Am, the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley. He is Gabor. He is El Shaddai. He is El Elyon. He is Elohim. He is the King of all King and the Lord of all Lords. But yet, he pointed them to himself. David pointed them to the Father. Woo. Let's go to 2 Samuel. Woo! 2 Samuel. Chapter 9. Point the way to the Lord. I cannot find my other note here. Had some good stuff on it. That's okay. And it says, David was king. He still gave an open invitation to Mephibosheth. Chapter 9, verse 1, and David said, is there yet any that is left at the house of Saul that I may show him kindness? Do you know in chapter 9, he says kindness 3 times? Kindness is one of the greatest words, it says, when I was reading the root word. It's one of the greatest words in the Old Testament. It just doesn't mean kindness. It means love. It means grace. It means benevolence. It means unconditional love. It means piety. He wanted to show somebody kindness because he already made it to where God had him at that time. He hadn't gone home yet, but he was in the right direction, and he wanted to show somebody else the love of God. He wasn't too great. He didn't tip up his nose or turn his face. He wanted to bring him. He was in Lodabar. He was going south, and David wanted him pointed the way to north. So I love it. Chapter 9, if we go down, David, and I'm going to paraphrase, David says, is there anyone I could show kindness to? And they said, well, there's this one, Mephibosheth. His name means shame. Kindness will break the shame off of them. And kindness will bring them to repentance. And kindness will point them in the right direction. And it says, yeah, Mephibosheth, but he's lame at the feet. He didn't ask about what he was. He just wanted to show kindness to him. Don't worry about who they are or what they can give or what they're wearing or the habits they have or the garments they're wearing. Don't worry about that. Just show them kindness and point them the way to the Lord. And so it says that he brought them to the table. And in verse 11, chapter 9, 11, it says, "Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my lord the king have commanded his servant, so shall my servant do. As for me, Mephibosheth," my friend, she says, "Mephibosheth." I go, "He's not Mexican." He said the king, "He shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons." Woo! And then he says, "And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet." He pointed the way. He was in Lodabar. He was south side, but he pointed the way. He gave an open invitation. Make sure that you give an open invitation, meaning all are welcome to the house of God. Make sure you show kindness. Make sure you stop to give directions and win that soul over to Jesus Christ. Woo. So I'm going to close with that. Today you may be wearing a garment that's dirty. You say, "I have this habit and I need to break it off." That may be you. Or maybe you've been going in the wrong direction and it's been hard for you to make that exit and turn around and go in the right direction. Maybe that's you. Don't let pride stop you. You know men, when you tell them, "Honey, just ask somebody for directions." And they don't want, I know how to find the way. I know how to find the way. I'm telling you the way right now. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That may be you. Or maybe you say, "I want to win a soul today. I want to go out and win a soul, God." If that's you, any of those, come up to the altar. And I want to extend this. Is there anybody in here that's never received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior? Can you just lift up your hand? You've never said, "Come into my heart and forgive me of my sins." Is there anybody here that's never said that? Amen, amen, amen. So everybody, repeat after me. Father God, we come before you in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, we ask for forgiveness of all of our sins. Lord, we welcome you into our temple, into our heart. Fill us, Lord, with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. See, somebody, there was a few here that were going south. But you just changed your direction, and now you're going north. That's awesome. Can I have some worship music? If there's anybody that needs prayer, if you want to, can we open the altar? Do we have time? If anybody needs prayer, do you want to come up to the altar and we'll pray for you?
Beneath the surface of my anxious imagination beckons a calmness that is found in you alone. It washes over every doubt, every Jesus, your presence is the comfort of my soul. There's nowhere I'd rather be when you're sitting.